Welcome to the Risen Church Podcast, a collection of sermons from Risen Church in Santa Monica, California. Here at Risen, we believe the Bible, proclaim the gospel, and seek to better follow Christ. As a Jesus-centered church for the people of Los Angeles and ultimately the world, we aim to help people know Jesus, grow in faith, and go serve the world. If you're interested in more information, please visit us at risenchurch.com. And now for this week's message.
As Trevor mentioned, this evening we are stepping into Good Friday with a message from the Gospel of John. And John makes it clear as to why he's writing this. Near the end of his Gospel, he says, he has written these things so you may believe that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. That you may believe that he is the Christ, that by believing you may have life in his name. This is not just a story. This is historical testimony. And John 19 brings us to the climactic end of the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus has entered Jerusalem. He's been betrayed. He's been tried, and he's been crucified. Now in this passage, we are standing at the very end of the cross. So John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30, say this. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." And a jar full of sour wine stood there. So the soldiers put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. This is not a long passage, but it is a long moment. Every phrase carries weight, and nothing is here by accident. So we're going to walk through this brief passage in five movements of wrath. The conscious wrath, the calling wrath, the concentric wrath, consumed wrath, and committed wrath. Again, that's conscious, calling, concentric, consumed, and committed. We notice in this moment, and John wants to make this clear, this is not a scene of defeat, but it is a moment of determination for Jesus. John makes it clear Jesus is not losing his life, he is laying it down. And in these final moments, Jesus is very conscious that he's completing the work that he was commissioned for. So this is point number one, conscious wrath. Jesus, again, is concluding his time on the cross. And to his disciples, and now to the soldiers, he's been foreshadowing this idea that the Father has a very particular cup that he's to drink from. And he's now consciously aware that he's coming to the bottom of that cup. Notice in verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that everything was now finished." Jesus is aware that this is the end of his life. The end of his betrayal, trial, and crucifixion. This is the end, and he's fully present in the pain of all of it. In other words, there isn't a sense of delirium in this moment. There's not a sense of hallucination or anesthesiology. But as Jesus receives the wrath of God, he receives it fully aware and fully conscious. Church, let this settle in. Jesus does not avoid the pain. In these most excruciating moments, he doesn't check out. He doesn't ask for rescue. He sees it all the way through to the end. That's point number one, conscious wrath. Point number two is calling wrath. Jesus knows this is the end, and to complete this moment, he actually calls on the soldiers. Notice in verse 28, to fulfill the scriptures, he said, "I still thirst." The wrath of God is being poured on Jesus. He's drinking from the cup the Father has for him, and still he speaks with a sense of command to the soldiers. And when he says, "I thirst," when he says, "I'm not done," when he says, "I can take more," the soldiers obey. In other words, Jesus has received floggings. He's received beatings. He's received whippings and nailings. And yet, if there is more in the cup to drink, Jesus wants it. Church, let me encourage us with this. Jesus wants every ounce of the wrath of God poured on him. He doesn't want to share the last drink of God's wrath with anyone else. Whatever it takes to reconcile all things back to himself, he wants it all. That's point number two, calling wrath.
We hope you're enjoying this week's message. We believe that following Jesus is best done connected to the local church. If you're in the Los Angeles area and looking for a church, or know someone who is, we'd love to invite you out to worship with us at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, join a community group that meets throughout the week, or serve with us in the church and in the city. You can find all the details at risenchurch.com. We would be thrilled to connect with you. Now, back to this week's message.
Point number three, concentric wrath. Jesus has given his call to the soldiers to give him their best and final shot. Notice in verse 29, so the soldiers put a sponge full of the sour wine and held it to his mouth. Throughout the final days of the life of Jesus during Holy Week, the disciples are implicated in the crucifixion of Jesus for betraying and abandoning him. The religious elites are implicated for demanding his crucifixion. All of Israel is implicated for demanding the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. The Roman elites are implicated for ordering his execution, and now regular soldiers are implicated for administering the last of God's wrath on Christ. In other words, in this moment, no one's hands are clean. No one can claim ignorance or innocence inside or outside of Israel. All are guilty, and yet Jesus asks for more from the very people he is ready to forgive. Church, let me encourage us with this. We are, in fact, somewhere in that story. Somewhere ready to run, hide, abandon, and crucify Jesus to save our own skin. Yet Jesus receives our sin laid on him that he might actually count us as sinless. That's point number three, concentric wrath. This is point number four, consumed wrath. Jesus has this final moment on the cross in which he thirsts. He thirsts for any wrath that is left. Notice in verse 30, and Jesus received the sour wine from the sponge. And he said, "It is finished." These final moments, the final cup and the final drink to say, "It is finished." All of God's wrath has been swallowed up. None remains for those that are in Christ. In other words, there's nothing left for you to do. There's nothing left for you to pay. There's nothing left for you to suffer. Christ drank the last of God's wrath in full. That's point number four, consumed wrath. And this is our fifth and final point, committed wrath. It's all finished. The scriptures fulfilled. The soldiers, the stick of wine. And notice the final phrase in verse 30. And Jesus bowed his head, gave up his spirit, body and soul. This is the end. This is the final curtain on Good Friday. This is the last breath of Jesus, the King of the Jews, crucified. In other words, Jesus has finished drinking from the cup, and now he's committed his body and his spirit into the hands of the Father, the one who judges justly. Church, let me encourage us. Jesus finished his course so he could help us finish ours. He became unrighteous that we might become righteous, and he became sin that we may be counted sinless. That's point number five, committed wrath. And this is where the gospel meets us each and every time. This is substitution. Christ receives what we deserve so that we might receive what he deserved. He is treated as guilty so that we may be counted innocent. He is condemned that we might be welcomed into the family of God, and he takes on wrath so that we might receive grace. For all those who are in Christ, church, there is no wrath left. There is no payment remaining, no condemnation waiting. Only grace, only mercy, only life. Let's pray. God, thank you for evenings like Good Friday. Evenings that feel more somber to remember the wrath that we deserved, you absorbed yourself. The punishment we deserved, you received yourself. The cup we deserved, you drank yourself. Father, tonight we are thankful for Good Friday. It's in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. We hope you've been deeply encouraged by it. Each week, we're able to produce this podcast because of the faithful giving of our congregation and others who support us. If you'd like to help us continue to create similar content, you can give at risenchurch.com. And if you're in the Los Angeles area looking to connect with the church, we'd love to have you join us. Hope to meet you soon.